Please, Mr. Jackson, don't touch me there.
Well, this is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, episode 39. 39? Has it really been that long? It's almost coming up on our one-year anniversary, and there's no way in God's green earth that we're going to have 52 episodes by that one-year mark. So, be thankful for what you got, and if you want more, well, help me out a little bit here. Now, I announced the phone number a few weeks ago, and a bunch of people called, and then no one fucking called after that. So, call it again. Say stuff. The voicemail number is 206-984-9569. Program that into your cell phone, send me a message, and if you find a really interesting quote, send it to me. You can also email me, droops@infonomicon.org. If you go to the Infonomicon website, you're going to notice there's been some changes. Well, more likely additions, I should say. We now have a quotes page under the text header, and it's quotes that I find interesting. I'm going to put the date, kind of their context. If you read Newsweek, I believe they've got a thing similar to that. And I'd really like to look back a year from now and say, oh, this is what was going on. Here's what people were thinking about things. I've got two up right now. I'm probably going to have some more. As I find lots of quotes, highlight them, and then I read them to my wife, and she doesn't understand them. And this way I can share with other people. You may also notice that we have a mirror project going up. I've got, I'm working on the Iron Geek mirror. I've got a RFA, which is Radio Freak America mirror. And I've got a BassNet radio mirror. And whether they want it or not, it's there. And it's for everyone. Go visit their web pages. There's links there. Go check them out. There's lots of really good stuff at oldschoolfreak.com, which is where Radio Freak America is based. And I forget the BassNet. I think it's BassNetRadio.org or something another. It's on our website. Go look at it. Oh, and there's this other small thing that's going on. You might notice there is a new episode of Infonomicon TV. And it's not like the other episodes. This one's funny. It's a little bit informative. But you definitely should watch this fucking thing. Maybe it starts a little slow. Maybe it starts a little fast. I don't know. It's a good time. And I make a fucking idiot out of myself. Now this show isn't going to have a specific topic like I have wanted to do. And that's mainly because I'm drunk. Did the last show drunk, doing this show drunk, and I spent the weekend studying. I did some Java programming, I did some things like that, and statistics and accounting are just the most ridiculous fucking crap ever. Ugh, they're pointless as shit, and maybe not just to statisticians or whatever and accountants, but to me they're pointless. I don't care. I can write a computer program that'll do that, or just a fucking spreadsheet. And anyway, school's been sucking, so today I just got drunk. My roommate came into town with his buddy, so they can go to school tomorrow. And I made some margaritas, and I'm just finishing my last one, because I don't feel like making any more. I got some bourbon and Coke. Jim Beam is my buddy. But enough brain loss here. Let's move on to Cosmos One. The fuck is Cosmos One? Well, Cosmos One is a spacecraft that's using a solar sail to explore a little bit. And when I say explore a little bit, I mean it's only going to last for a month and it's going to crash back into Earth. And you're going to be able to see it with the naked eye, which is going to be really cool. And it's more of a test platform to test the solar sail concept. Russia, Japan, NASA, whatever, they've all come up with solar sails. This is the first one that we know of that's going into space. Now, it's a private company that's funding this thing. And for their engineers, they got some Russians. And you're saying, oh, Russians, whatever. Well, Russians kept the Mir space station long past its planned lifetime. And they used a little bit more than cigarette papers and spit to keep this thing up in space. They also worked for one-tenth the cost of comparable U.S. engineers. And most of these guys worked under the Iron Curtain, as it would, where if something didn't work, you were just shot. Now, if all goes as planned, a Russian ICBM, which is Intercontinental Ballistic Missile, for you guys that aren't into acronyms, will blast off of a Russian nuclear submarine deep in the Barents Sea on Tuesday with a payload. I wonder how long ago. I wonder if this has even gone on. I think this is the new article. I think it's this Tuesday. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to go off on this Tuesday, I'm pretty sure, with a payload out of science fiction. A solar sail called the Cosmos One. Now, a solar sail is a different kind of spaceship. And it uses kind of the ship more of a thing than other things do. Like, if you look at the American spaceship, as it would be, the shuttle, it's a plane-looking thing. This thing actually has a sail like my sailboat. And hopefully, when I'm old, I'm going to have a sailboat, and I'm going to live on it. And I'm not going to have to look at people, and I'm just going to sail around and fucking explore and rob people for money, because I won't have any renewable income. But anyway, this thing has a sail. And it's going to be propelled, instead of wind, but by the pressure of photons, which are particles of sunlight, and sail around space. How fucking cool is that? The reason I want to have a sailboat is because I don't have to pay for gas. And that's the same reason these people want to have a solar sail. Because rocket fuel is very heavy. Oh, and it's expensive. Let's see, moving along that. 6 minutes after launch, the last stage of a three-stage rocket will fall away. Soon after, a motor will begin a 70-second burn-in to kick the spaceship into near-polar orbit. And they're going to be about 1,300 miles up. After 37 minutes in this orbit, two solar panels, not to be confused with the solar sails, solar panels are the things that gather sunlight for energy, for power, and these panels are going to produce the electricity to turn these sails. And they're going to deploy, turn toward the sun, and gather up some energy. After 4 days of controllers will try to pop the ship's 8 29-foot-long triangular sails from their folded package into a 6,500-square-foot configuration resembling a windmill. And like I said, if this works, if all this shit goes right out in space, this thing's going to be bright enough to see with the naked eye. You're going to be able to track it at planetary.org/solar-sail/watch. And that URL is going to be available on the website. Now, as these sails unfurl, the Cosmos One is going to begin to ride on these photons. Now, sunshine to us might not feel like much, but calculations show in the void of space, it can accelerate the Cosmos One to 195 miles an hour after 1 day, and to 10,000 miles an hour after 100. Now, the ship's not going to last that long. As I said, it's the sails are 0.005 millimeters thick, and they're going to degrade, and it's going to fall back into Earth as a fireball after about a month. Now, with this concept of the solar sail, this thing's going to be free of the expensive, heavy, inefficient rocket fuel. And the solar sails, according to people right now, offer the best hope for long-distance space missions. Now, these sails are going to be as maneuverable as the sails on a waterborne ship. They're going to be able to tack, which in theory means they can make it to any port of call on the planet. Or at any planet, excuse me. They're going to be able to return the reflective side of the sails toward the sun when the sun's behind it, and the less reflective side when the sun's ahead of it. and that's going to be able to let you control the solar sail as you do a sailboat. If you don't understand what tacking is, go drive real fast in your vehicle. Stick your hand out the window. And if you lay your hand flat, you're going to move just fine. And if you put your flat to the ground, if you go perpendicular to the ground, you're going to feel a lot of wind blowing against your hand. And if you were in a sailboat, you would want the wind directly behind you so that your boat can go the fastest through the water. But obviously, you can't just go where the wind takes you. You want to be able to harness the power of that. So take your hand and tilt it a little bit. So if you tilt it toward the front of the vehicle, you're going to feel your hand start to rise. This is how planes fly. And if your hand was, you kept your hand stationary, you'd be able to harness, well, not really explaining this very well because I'm a little drunk. I'm sorry about all these drunk Infonomicons. But you'll be able to harness some of the power of that wind. And with the rudder on your boat, which is this board that sticks into the ground or into the water, you can keep your boat going in a straight line with that rudder and then harness some of the power of the wind to take you that direction that you have your rudder set. So this is kind of exciting with these solar sails. I have a sailboat myself. I need to take the test so that I'm allowed to register this damn thing, because this stupid state makes you register your sailboat even though I don't have a motor in it per se. And this isn't like a sailboat you can camp out in. This is a sailboat two people could fit in if you're kind of cramped or if you have a skinny wife and sail around for a couple hours. Well, moving on from that, Microsoft, I love this company. They are the masters of innovation. They are the masters of efficiency. They're just fucking awesome. And if you go to the quotes page I talked about earlier, you'll see that I have a couple quotes about Microsoft. And as history has shown, Microsoft is always late to the party, as it would be. Anyway, most of us, I'm sure, use Mozilla, or at least Netscape. If you could see the stats of the site, I don't like to show them to people. But most of the people that view my site are using Mozilla, so feeling my audience is a little bit more smart than the average IE user. Anyway, tab browsing is a great thing. It's just, I could look at porn without it. I mean, it would just, I don't know how I used to do it before that was tab browsing. Well, Microsoft and their really old-ass fucking Internet Explorer and their operating system, Windows XP, which is like 4 years old, are playing catch-up a lot. Because Microsoft really isn't the master of innovation. Apple just came out with Tiger. Linux just released a new kernel. I mean, come on, catch up, Micro. Come on, Billy. You can make it. Well, Apple, with their Tiger, has the integrated search. It's really good. Microsoft's not going to have that till the fall of 2006 when they release Longhorn, if it gets released then, but it probably won't. And IE is not going to have built-in tab browsing until this summer, which probably will be a little later than that. And but Microsoft, they're innovating. They've just released a free product that adds both of these features, the tab browsing and the search, to Windows computers. Well, Windows XP computers. These add-on versions of the desktop search and tab browsing aren't as good as, you know, other products, but they get the basic job done. And you know, Microsoft, I'm proud when you can get the basic job done. Like, I really like Windows XP as compared to Windows 98 because I don't have to restart the computer 6-7 times a day. That's really nice. I appreciate it, Microsoft, for getting the basic job done. Now, Microsoft's new utility that we're talking about here has this wonderful name of MSN Search Toolbar with Windows Desktop Search. They are obviously paying a lot of money for someone to come up with clever names for things. And you can get this thing at toolbar.msn.com. I don't recommend you doing it. That link will not be available in the show notes. When you download this toolbar, or when your cousins download a toolbar on your computer, or your roommate who's a fucker, or you have to fix somebody's computer that has this toolbar, you'll be able to recognize it because it adds a new row of icons and drop-down menus to the Internet Explorer browser. Great. It's a big cluttered hunk of shit. Let's add a little bit more shit to it. Now, many of these icons are aimed at driving users to other MSN products like Hotmail email. Ooh, that's what I fucking want, some Hotmail. But you can also use this toolbar to turn on tab browsing and perform desktop searches. Well, you know, that's great. That's just fucking stupid. It's good for Microsoft and their little crap shit, but it's not good for the people. Now, when you turn on this tab browsing, Internet Explorer can sprout file folder-like tabs, each of which represent a different web page that is available in the same main browser window. Pretty much tab browsing right there. To add a new tab, click on a plus sign icon. You can instruct the toolbar to open any link from any web page in a new tab so it doesn't overwrite the page you have open. And, yes, standard. But the Microsoft, MSN search toolbar with Windows Desktop Search add-in lacks many other things. Like, there's no way to automatically open a website stored in the browser's links toolbar in a separate tab. There's no open in tabs command for rapidly launching whole folders of favorites. In fact, you're restricted to setting up a single group of favorites that will open at once. It's called My Tabs, and it's accessed via an icon on the toolbar. My Tabs in the MSN search toolbar with desktop or Windows Desktop Search. Now, what all functionality does this bring to us? Well, you can add plugins like, for searching, it's only going to search your email program if you're using a Microsoft certified email program like Outlook Express or Outlook, which if you have any fucking sense, you're not using anyway. And it's only going to search that and in my documents folder. And if you want it to search anything else, like if you have a whole drive dedicated to music you've stolen off the internet, and you wanted to search G Music, you're going to have to go and configure all that, because it doesn't do that by default. It also doesn't search and index things like PDF files, which what the fucking world runs on, and you're going to have to get a plug-in if you want to search for such things like that. Well, to me, this sounds like it's a stellar product. I can't wait to fucking try this shit out. Fuck. Well, there's a new technology. We've all been playing around with Bluetooth. I'm hoping we all have. I have. And Bluetooth is pretty handy, but it's pretty flawed. And we're not going to go into that on the show, because we leave that to the more intelligent radio shows. But there's starting next year, a new short-range technology called ultra-wideband is coming around. Well, ultra-wideband is also called UWB, slick, and it's going to be used to connect things like Bluetooth does now, except it's going to go so fucking fast, like 100 times faster than Bluetooth, you're going to be able to hook up your iPod, per se, your portable music player, to your computer with ultra-wideband and transfer all your music that way instead of having to actually plug it up and, you know, to achieve any kind of speed. You'll also be able to do this with your video camera. I think that's fucking cool. I can have my video camera hooked up to my laptop, which is in my backpack, as I walk down the street, and I could stream this on the internet. That's pretty slick, no wires attached. They're expecting by as early as this Christmas for the first ultra-wideband consumer products to hit the store shelves. And starting in the year 2006... these things are going to become widespread on the market, which is just going to leave us another exercise in learning to see how we can get into that. Wouldn't that be really great if you could just sit by your house and everybody that walked by with a CD or an MP3 player, you could just suck all their songs out as they walked by? That would piss the music industry off, that, I'll tell you that. Now, this isn't really a new technology. It's new to us. It's been long used for military and radar applications. And it's being adapted, of course, for consumer electronics because of this speed it can transfer digital things. And it also uses very low power. It's designed to work within a 30-foot range, and it doesn't interfere with other wireless signals because its broad spectrum has been under development for consumer use for the past 7 years. Well, that's awesome. I'm going to have to buy a new antenna to break into this stuff. Good times with all of that. Well, speaking of breaking into things, Bank of America, you know, another big fucking company that holds a lot of personal information of people, they're adding an extra step in the sign-in process for its online banking system, an effort to cut down on fraud. Under this new system, which was announced last week, they're going to require their clients to register their computers and assign a digital image, such as a dog or a cat or a flower, whatever, to their account. On subsequent visits, the image will be displayed before a customer has to enter a password. The approach is intended to assure customers they are signing on to a legitimate site, and it's part of an effort to keep unauthorized people out. Now, this is, of course, to fight phishing. I think, how many did it say in this article? About 57 million Americans received a phishing attack email last year. 1.8 of them believed it. And this is the same Bank of America that disclosed it had lost computer backup tapes containing personal information on about 1.2 million federal government charge cards. So, phishing problem... Let me get this straight in my head. The phishing problem got 1.8 million Americans. And it's a big deal. But Bank of America loses, what was it, 1.2 million federal government charge cards? And, you know, whatever. They're a company. They're cool. Get these fishers. Like, this is over half of the entire phishing thing that's going on. Boom, one fell swoop, Bank of America fucked up. And yet, anyway, yeah, the picture of a dog is going to solve the goddamn problem. Am I just an upset person? Or am I just drunk and stupid? I think I'm drunk and stupid. Now, this bank, of course, wants you to do business online because it's a lot more profitable for them, you know, with their big fancy building and their big fancy houses they live in, to deal with customers online than actually in person. You know, if I'm giving you all my money, I kind of want you taking shortcuts that may or may not fuck me over. Now, Bank of America is allowing customers to register frequently used machines, such as your home or office computer, with its online system. Don't use your office computer to do your banking, okay? Don't do that. Well, don't use your home PC if you're an idiot, because those things are usually fucked. Now, when a customer uses one of those computers to access the site, they're shown this picture after entering their username. And then, of course, they enter their password. Now, I've cleaned off some spyware on some computers before. In fact, I do that a lot, because... Well, we're not going into why, but one of the things that I always do is I boot that bastard in safe mode, and I clear out the temporary internet files, I clear out things like that, all your temp files, because what is stored in your temp files? Well, if there's a flaw in your 4-year or 5-6-year-old browser, whatever Internet Explorer is now, these flaws will usually... allow people to install things, little programs, little things that aren't good, little adware, in your temp files. Well, it can probably read those temp files too. And when you view a website, all your pictures that you're shown are also stored on your computer in temp files. Now, if I'm shown a dog every time, and Bank of America calls it, you know, droopsdog.jpg, all they really have to do is search for whatever Bank of America, you know, their naming practice calls this file for a phishing site, and then boom, display that, and then the customers are going to be like, oh, there's my puppy. I know it's safe now. So, like, I'm drunk and I think this is stupid. Like, I can see flaws in it right now. Like, 1.2 million credit cards, boom, and they're trying to stop these fishers, but they're 1.8. Maybe they should work on common sense and things like that. But, you know, that's just me, and I'm some alcoholic redneck, it seems. Y'all really have to go watch Infonomicon TV4. It's just fucking awesome in my mind. Y'all give me a second while I take a drink. Well, shit, this has been about a time limit. I need to go smoke a cigarette. Email me, droops@infonomicon.org. If you can't spell it, then I don't fucking want to hear from you. We have a voicemail box at 206-984-9569. Call me all the time. Tell me stuff. It's a good time. Prank call me. I don't give a fuck. Go check out the TV show. Go look at the website. Think about some quotes. I actually talked to a guy real quick that had watched the last episode of Infonomicon TV, and they've been working on the roll-up keyboard. And one of the problems that I had was that the little thing that controls all the keyboard stuff, the functions, is on top, and it hinders your rolling. And they were trying to work on getting that around. And as soon as they get something like that to work, they're going to send me some pictures or send me some video and show me how much cooler they are than me. But anyway, I don't know what the closing music is because we've got about 15 seconds. I'm going to have to go edit this a little bit so we can fit some music in and me just not ramble on. But I've been Droops, and I'm Mickey Finn.